You are listening to Camera. Hello everyone, I am your host Lady Madonna and you are listening to Camera Roll. Today you'll get the latest TV and movie news. We'll review an awesome TV show and an even more awesome movie. And we have a lot of news and gossip waiting for you, so stick with us. Remember all the comments, requests and everything you'd like to tell us, you can do through our website or our Facebook page at Camera Roll. Or visit us on Twitter. The account is at LadyMadonna_DUC. And with that, we'll move on to our first segment.
Hello!
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
Oh my God!
I am extremely talented.
Balsamic vinegar and oil, but on the side. And then the salmon with the mustard sauce, but I want the mustard sauce on the side. On the side is a very big thing for you.
Hello, everyone. So, about our Facebook comments on the last show, we asked you guys, what did you think of Moneyball? And we got a few responses, and one from Tyler. He said that the movie was good, but the movie displayed the wrong facts. I had already heard about that because the movie is based on a book, and so I heard they made a few changes to fit the story on the screen. So, well, maybe if you look at it from the point of view that it's maybe kind of a different story. Remember, it's based on a true story and not a true story. So, there you go. Baseball fans, you can go and see Moneyball. It's a really good movie, and give us your opinion on everything we say here. So this weekend's surprise was Hugh Jackman's Real Steel. Hugh Jackman's Real Steel. A lot of people thought it was not gonna do very good on the box office, but
no!
Apparently it did very well. And, well, this fall has been defined by the low box office incomes, and Real Steel did a respectable $27.3 million on its debut date. And, well, it is still not more than The Lion King, but it's close enough. And for Hugh Jackman, Real Steel marks a real step up from almost all of his non-X-Men films. Hugh Jackman, though he's a great actor, he's not really good at making box office successes. Besides from the X-Men.
Say what?
Yeah, that's true. He's only Van Helsing on the group of movies that are not X-Men related. Van Helsing's the only one that made a good income at the box office. And, well, Real Steel is right behind that. Actually, my family back in Mexico went to see it and they like it. So, well, my mom is pretty demanding with the movies she watches and she said it was okay. So I recommend it. I would go see it just because it's Hugh Jackman. And, well, besides, it's a family movie, but it still has, come on, it has robot fight. It's made for families, but it has just enough violence and action to keep all the skeptic teenagers interested. And in my opinion, well, if you're a grown-up woman and the only reason you should go see it is because it has Hugh Jackman on it, doesn't need any more reasons for you to go see it. So, well, that is also, you have to see it on IMAX, and you'll get a really good look at all of Hugh Jackman and also the robot fights. And they say the kid also makes a really good performance, and a lot of people don't like kids being in movies, like the kid being the supporting role, because some people think that kids kind of ruin movies. But I can tell you that apparently this kid does a really good job. And I personally don't think kids ruin movies, but I'll talk about that when we talk about Super 8 on the coming weeks. But anyway, elsewhere, George Clooney's grown-up movies, The Ides of March, had the kind of opening George Clooney grown-up movies usually have on box office, which is to say it did all right, all things grown-up considered, for a, you know, it did all right, but it didn't do great. For busy co-star Ryan Gosling, The Ides of March was his smallest opening movie of the past 3 months, although The Ides of March grossed more per theater than Drive did. So, if you watch Drive, are you going to watch Ides of March? I certainly want to watch that movie. Although, George Clooney, I really love his acting. He doesn't do very well multitasking, I think. But we'll see. When I see the movie, I'll tell you. And, well, good news for everyone. Abduction dropped to number 10 on the box office. Well, that's just too bad for all the woo girls out there rooting for Taylor Lautner. And, well, that's really bad for them, but, I mean, come on, Taylor Lautner?
Look, I have elbows!
Yeah, that's the kind of stupid talk we get from the girls who love Taylor Lautner. He's not a good actor. He does appear without his shirt, so if that's what you're looking for in a movie, go ahead and watch Abduction, because it's not a good movie. It's only a Taylor Lautner movie, so that's bad. Well, on a different note, Shirley MacLaine, who turned 77 this past April, has been set as the American Films Institute 40th Life Achievement Honoree. The AFI will give her an award for all her different roles in movies and her long career on screen at its annual gala on June 7th. Yeah, it's long way down the road for people watching TV is until June, but they announced she was gonna be the winner of that award. They announced it last week, I think. So the ceremony will be broadcasted on June on TV Land. Well, we have news on a new comedy series that's gonna be coming to Showtime on January. The series is called House of Lies with Don Cheadle, and co-starring Kristen Bell and Ben Schwartz. And I actually watched the trailer. It's really funny. If you want to watch it, it's going to be posted on our Facebook page. So we don't have a lot of information about that show, but we do know it's going to be about a group of management consultants that apparently control more than they're supposed to. So we don't have a lot of info on that.
Well, wait, what's the angle?
Well, we don't know what the angle's gonna be yet, but when we get more previews, we'll be sure to post them on Facebook and to talk about it. All I can say that the trailer was funny, and that's a good indication for a comedy. If the trailer is not funny, you won't want to watch that thing. But trailer's actually funny. On another TV news, CBS announced that they were moving one of their new shows that's called How to Be a Gentleman. They're moving it from the week, they're moving it to Saturday. And later on, EW confirmed that show is getting canceled. So, okay, well, that's too bad, CBS. Well, next time, try not making remakes of your own characters. I mean, the dude from the posters looks like too much like Barney Stinson, but not as awesome as he is. Seriously? You thought it was gonna work? I don't think so. I mean, How I Met Your Mother is running good and strong, and you put just another show with the same character, just different actor? No one's gonna get past Neil Patrick Harris doing that kind of character. So How to Be a Gentleman is gonna be canceled. Not one season. That's the first one to hit the axe of the new shows. Well, on another show that may be going down is ABC's Grey's Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy, their ratings from last week were actually their lowest ever. The series has been running, I think, for 5 seasons, and that's a lot. I mean, to get your lowest ratings this far on. So apparently, Ellen Pompeo and Patrick Dempsey are not returning for next season, though the show is scheduled to run for at least one more season. So could it be that the fans don't like the new storylines coming up? Or maybe the show crosses lines with the Meredith and Vereth relationship on and on. You know, guys, only Ross and Rachel are allowed to come on and off that many times. Anyways, it looks like the fans are giving up on the show before even the actors do. So, well, actually, I gave up on that show a long time ago. I think it was season 3. So, maybe.
Could be worse.
It's worse.
Yeah, it is worse. Poor guys. I hope they're not getting canceled because I have a lot of friends that really like the show, but who knows? Maybe it's their time to go down. And, well, on a returning series, of mid-season series that are going to be coming on... Well, it's not a returning series, sorry. A new series that's coming up in January. Heroes creator, if you remember, Heroes got canceled last year. And it was a really good show, a different kind of show, sci-fi, down-to-earth show. And the creator is Tim Kring. I actually got to see Tim Kring on last 2009 Comic-Con. And he's a really great writer. And he has really great and kind of weird ideas. And he's creating this new show that's called... How is it called? Oh, okay, it's called Touch. And the main character is going to be played by Kiefer Sutherland. After 24 is done, finally, it is done. He's returning with Tim Kring on this show that's about... it's kind of weird. It's a widower and a single father that has to connect with his son, Jake. And his son is mute, but Jake has... He can separate patterns and connect on related events and communicate with numbers. He's kind of like Rain Man, but mute. And, well, anyway, it's going to be kind of hard to see Kiefer Sutherland doing, a character that's not Jack Bauer. I'm just going to be looking at him and say, okay, take your gun and kill all the bad guys. It's going to be pretty weird. But then again, he's not a great actor, but he's not that bad. And acting, so this will give him a chance to prove that he's other, like he can do other stuff besides the tough Jack Bauer stuff. And well, we're gonna take a little break. And remember that you can follow us on Twitter. The account is @LadyMadonna_DUC, Lady and Madonna with capitals and Madonna with oval N. And you can like us on Facebook. The page is Camera Roll. Stay tuned, because coming up we have our movie and TV slated reviews and some juicy gossip on our red carpet segment. So remember, you're listening to Camera Roll only on radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned.
I swear I'll behave. You wanted Why not?
Because it's already out there.
Oh, geez, what are we supposed to do? Call the cops? It's already out there.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Creeping like a nun. Monday's child has learned to tie his bootlegs. See how they run.
Hello, and welcome back. You're on radio.dominican.edu. This is Camera Roll, and I am your host, Lady Madonna. And, well, today's TV show review is Nurse Jackie. So, last week our show review was of House, and he's the worst role model for a doctor. And, well, this week we have another bad example in Showtime's Nurse Jackie. Let's make a roll call of similarities between the two of them. So, you have a drug addict, medical professional. Check. A compulsive liar, check. You have also a human scum that damages those who are closer to them without really intending, or actually sometimes on purpose, check. And for the last of it, you have disdain for social conventions, okay, check. They're the same. They are, well, basically the same, though not exactly the same, because, well, Nurse Jackie is a woman.
Oh! My God!
Well, yeah. Well, they're not exactly the same. They are a lot alike. But if you've seen House, you'll probably like Nurse Jackie. Well, of course, the main difference, however, is that Jackie is a half-hour dark humor show that borders between drama and comedy. The series stars Eddie Falco as the title character, this Jackie Payton. And Jackie is an emergency room nurse at All Saints Hospital in New York City. And, well, for Jackie, every day is a high-wire act of juggling the things between her patients, doctors, fellow nurses, her own indiscretions, personal life and stuff. And the half-hour turns wicked, heartbreaking and funny. It's actually filled with different stuff. It's a great show. And so Edie Falco was for 6 years the wife of the monster Tony Soprano on HBO's The Sopranos. And she's a great actress who renders an excellent interpretation of the almost bipolar Nurse Jackie. Well, she's not bipolar, but she has a lot of emotional issues going. It's a really powerful series. And, well, Jackie's a strong-willed, iconoclastic New York City nurse. And she has to juggle the frenzied green of her urban hospital and an equally challenging personal life. She has, well, actually, I saw the pilot episode, and at first you just see her in the hospital doing her things. And at the end of the episode, she actually has an affair with one of the guys at the hospital. But you don't know this until the end of the episode. You see her going back home to her husband and two girls. So it's actually, the first episode is kind of like, wait, what? And yeah, she has all these things going up at home and at the hospital. And it's really weird. And so to go through her day, she has an occasional weakness. Occasional meaning not that occasional and more often than you think. She has a weakness for Vicodin, Adderall, Percocet, and OxyContin. to help her get through the day. So as a result, she's kind of stoned almost all the time. And but well, that just helps the plot going through. And well, the main characters include Dr. Eleanor O'Hara. That's Jackie's best friend. She's a British doctor working at the same hospital that she is. And Zoe, that's actually the counterpoint of Jackie. She's an experienced new nurse, and she's like all naive and kind of always trying to do the right thing, and it's the opposite of Jackie. And she's like the perfect contrast for the sharp angles that Jackie has. Another character is Dr. Cooper, and not Sheldon Cooper. This is a different Dr. Cooper. And he's like Showtime has like describing as likable golden boy. And he has a really calm facade and hides a nervous disposition. He's like this perfect guy, but he's really nervous about everything. And well, and the other main character is Eddie, that is a pharmacist that is Jackie has kind of an affair with him. And actually, the first time I saw the show, I thought he was like her boyfriend. Well, she is, but she's also married. And well, the series certainly a grown-up show, and it deals with a lot of things that, you know, it's an adult show, not just because it's strong in its theme and words, situations and everything, but it also has a grown-up like underlying plot. It deals with the unethical facts of Jackie's life and her cynical attitudes to life. And, well, Jackie's an incredibly complex character. And certainly, if you enjoy good performances on your daily TV dose, you'll love Nurse Jackie. I think I can safely say that Nurse Jackie is one of the best TV shows that we have running, like, currently. And one of the controversies surrounding the show is that it has a biased portrayal of nurses, and Nurse Association actually said that it wasn't good for the images of nurses in the country. But even though with all of that going on, the show's been running for two seasons, well, I don't remember. Another thing is that the show's actually pretty dramatic. It has its comic situations, but Edie Falco does render a pretty dramatic performance of Jackie, but she's been nominated twice for Best Actress in a Comedy Series. And so that's kind of weird, because though the comedy has some dark humor, you couldn't, like, it's like Grey's Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy has been nominated for Best Comedy Series, and it's actually not a comedy. Also Desperate Housewives. All those kind of dramedies, but Nurse Jackie is more a drama than a comedy. It does have, like, comedic issues going on, but they're not funny because they're trying to be funny. Maybe they're funny because they reveal some truths of human nature that maybe makes us nervous and therefore makes us laugh. But anyway, she's been nominated twice for Best Actress in a Comedy Series, though I will nominate her for drama because she does a really, really good job as Nurse Jackie. And you really, it's like with House, you watch them, and at times you like them, but at times you just want to kill them. It's like, oh, come on. And they really get on your nerves. So, but that means they're really good actors. Because a bad actor like Kristen Stewart wouldn't have you wishing to kill them because of the character. They will want you wishing to kill them because of how bad they are, with the same face for everything. But, okay, so that's why they don't do TV shows and they just do crappy movies. On the other side, you have good actors as Hugh Laurie and Edie Falco doing awesome shows. And if you want to see more of Edie Falco, you should watch The Sopranos. She plays the wife of Tony Soprano. And that's another, well, strong and hard to watch series, but it's a really, really good one. And also Edie Falco guest starred in 30 Rock, I think, in the second season, as Jack Donaghy's one of Jack Donaghy's girlfriends, and she was playing a politician, and she actually made a really good appearance on there. She's really funny when she goes and adopts a character that's funny. So That says a lot about her as an actress, being able to do a really serious role and then go ahead and do a really funny and maybe kind of stupid role too. Well, we're gonna go for a small break. Stay with us, we'll have some more news for you. And remember, you're listening to Camera Roll only on radio.dominican.edu. And we will be right back. Steve Jobs died from respiratory arrest and pancreatic tumor, according to his death certificate released today. The Apple co-founder, chairman, and former chief executive died Wednesday, October 5th, around 3 p.m. in his Palo Alto home, the certificate noted. U.S. stocks rallied strongly today as investors cheered a pledge from European leaders to unveil a plan, and I'm not being listening. Yeah. To unveil a plan that will solve the debt crisis by the end of the month. The optimism pushed the euro up 2% up against the dollar. Commodities also joined the party, with oil and silver prices gaining 3%. Millions of BlackBerry users in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa were reportedly without web and texting service today because of an outage that BlackBerry marker Research Motion said that it was investigating. The company did not respond to CNN's questions about the cause of the outage, the number of users affected, or an estimate of when the service will be restored. These were the top stories at the bottom of the hour.
I'm not surprised, not everything lasts. I've broken my heart so many times I stopped keeping track. Talk myself in, I talk myself out. I get all worked up, then I let myself down. I tried so very hard not to lose it. I came up with a million excuses. I thought of every possibility. I know someday that it'll all turn up. You'll make me work so we can work to work it out. And I promise you, kid, that I'll get so much more than I get. I just haven't met you yet. I might have to wait, I'll never give up. I guess it's half time and the other half's left.
See how they run.
I never thought I'd say this again.
I am getting the pig!
How you manage to feed the red?
This is for me.
I want to go to there.
This is madness. It's madness, I tell you, for the love of God, Monica, don't do it!
Go ahead. Make my day.
Wednesday morning papers didn't come. Thursday night your stockings needed mending.
Hey, welcome back. You are on Camera Roll, only on radio.dominican.edu, and I am your host, Lady Madonna. And, well, today's featured movie is a movie I've chosen because yesterday was my best friend's birthday, so this is a movie that reminds me of her.
Oh, Francis, you're such a romantic.
What?
A romantic's why I've always been so fond of you.
Victoria.
You're all hard on the outside, but you are gooey on the inside.
Well, the movie I chose is a musical movie. And if you've seen it, you'll recognize it right away.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Yes, the movie is Chicago. Chicago is a movie based on a musical show that is set on Chicago in the 1920s. This is a movie I've watched a lot of times and a movie I spent hours talking about with my friends. And it's a really, really great movie. It has everything. It has drama, suspense, romance, and music. A lot of music. And well, the movie is the film adaptation of the satirical musical of the same name, and it explores the themes of corruption, celebrity, and scandal in the 1920s, or like it's called in the movie, Chicago's jazz era. And the movie centers on Val McKelley and Roxy Hart, two criminals of passion who find themselves awaiting their trials for murder. Velma is a vaudevillian dancer, and Roxy is a housewife that wants to be a dancer. And, well, they fight for the fame that is going to keep them off the hanging, you know. So, actually, the movie is kind of funny. It, I guess, like a musical, doesn't take itself very seriously. And it's a really good movie. And so it's a musical, but not on the lines of The Phantom of the Opera or Sweeney Todd, where almost every dialogue is sung. The songs are actually used in strategic points of the movie to reinforce an idea or an attitude. And every character is introduced with a song that somewhat explains explains how they are and how they react to things in life. So, My personal favorite use of the songs in this movie is the Cedric one. You'll see the character singing something in a situation, and the song maybe reveals a completely different meaning to the same situation, making fun maybe of the penal system or the social conventions. And well, the most notable of this kind is Razzle Dazzle. That's actually, I think, my brother's favorite piece of that movie.
Awesome.
And yeah, it is awesome. And well, the characters, the first one is Velma Kelly, and she's a dancer in Chicago. She has her own show, and the show is her and her sister. Velma Kelly is played by Catherine Zeta-Jones. She was actually nominated for Best Actress and in a movie, an Academy Award. She didn't win, but I think she didn't win. If you know it, you can tell us, but I'm pretty sure she didn't win. No, wait a minute. I think she did win. Well, doesn't matter. She was nominated for an Oscar. She won the Golden Globe, and she makes a great performance. And if you haven't seen the movie, or if you're going to see it, just keep in mind, when you see her dancing around, she was pregnant by the time she did that movie. Man, she's just awesome. She was pregnant, and she's dancing around, singing her lungs off. I mean, she's amazing. And well, she was a local big star before getting into prison, and then she finds herself trying to get off her hanging sentence. So the whole movie pictures the whole penal system as a circus, something you can, with the right actors, you can change the judge's mind and the people's perceptions of you. Whether that is true or not is not my place to say. But either way, the next character is Roxy Hart. And, well, they're the two. We can say that they are both supporting characters, because they are both really important. They either are both leading or supporting, because they're just as important. And Roxy Hart is played by Renee Zellweger, and she was also nominated for an Oscar. And she's a housewife, and she's wife to a mechanical guy. I think he does auto repairs. Well, it's not important, but she's like this middle class girl that she really, really wants to be a singer and get on all that jazz stuff in Chicago. So she's having an affair with the guy who sold her furniture, and they're dating because he told her that he was gonna make her a big star. But then he says, oh, of course I'm not, I was saying that to get you into bed. And she gets really, really mad. She takes a gun and shoots him, and so she goes to prison. And she's kind of the lead in the story. She carries the story through. And well, then she goes into jail, to Cook County Jail, and there she meets Matron Mama Morton. Mama Morton is played by Queen Latifah. And well, actually, a fun fact about this: at the Academy Awards that year, she was also nominated for an Academy Award. And well, Joan Rivers was on the red carpet, and Joan Rivers comes on to Queen Latifah and says, "Hey, darling, who you wearing?" And Queen Latifah's like, "Okay, so I bought this at Target yesterday because I didn't know how to dress for this. So I got my shoes, a pair of shoes, and my dress at a great price at Target." So that's the reason why we had so many Payless and Target ads with Queen Latifah, because she didn't go dress with a designer's gown or anything. She went from right across the store like any normal people would do. And well, that's Mama Morton. And another character is Billy Flynn. That's played by Richard Gere. My grandma actually didn't want to see that movie because she said that Richard Gere singing and dancing wasn't just Richard Gere. But anyway, he does a really good performance. And well, I love this movie, and it's really hard for me to decide which musical number is my favorite. But one of the most acclaimed scenes in the movie is the Cell Block Tango, where the murderers from Murderers Row sing the crimes that they were charged with, and all of them are crimes of passion that, in their own words, were murders but not crimes. And they defend themselves saying that that guy had it coming. And, you know, it's really classical that they had it coming. And, well, if you haven't seen the movie, I highly recommend you see it. If you like musicals, or if you don't have anything against musicals, you should go watch it. It has a lot of things that aren't sing. So the only reason why you shouldn't watch this movie, if you really, really, really hate musicals, any kind of them. But if you have no particular hate to musicals, you should watch it. And I can almost guarantee you will enjoy it. And, well, I've watched it so many times. I probably watch it once more this week. I just can't stop. I just can't stop. But, well, that's it for our movie review. And, well, it's a great movie. And I'll tell you next week who won the Academy Award for it. I know it won Best Music and Costumes and stuff, but I know either Queen Latifah or Catherine Zeta-Jones won an Oscar for it. And I'll definitely tell you next week and leave a post on Facebook, because right now I can't remember. But anyway, we're headed for a break, but stay tuned, because coming up we have the hottest gossip for you. So, don't leave. Remember, you're listening to Camera Roll only on radio.dominican.edu.
I'm the bad guy, remember?
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
legendary.
Oh, well, let me ask you something. Does she have an alibi?
For what? Why would she need an alibi?
So you're saying she does not have an alibi?
Well, no.
Okay, so we've established she ain't got no alibi. She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Lady Madonna, and you're listening to Camera Roll on radio.dominican.edu. And we have the latest gossip for you. So, on the first note, once Beatle Paul McCartney got married again, and the ceremony took place at the Marylebone Town Hall in central London. That's the same place where McCartney married his first wife, Linda, in 1969. So this one Beatle at least is really convinced that all you need is love. And also newlywed is Kim Kardashian. He called it a fairy tale wedding. Okay, so that one already happened. Didn't you watch the Cinderella getting married to Prince William? Even the costume, the dresses were taken out of a fairy tale. Besides, Kim Kardashian's marriage will last as long as the ratings last.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Yeah, well, but it's true. I mean, the whole thing is, I don't mean to say it's a setup, but come on, she's on a reality show. He hosted the wedding. Come on. As soon as the ratings go down, they're gonna need some drama or a baby for the ratings to go up again. So sorry. And another rumors, there were rumors of Eddie Murphy that he was going to make a surprise appearance on Saturday Night Live this Saturday with Ben Stiller, and those turned out to be just rumors.
Seriously?
And I'm not an Eddie Murphy fan. I think he's a bit overrated, and he's not even that funny. I mean, his best work is as being Donkey's voice in Shrek. Come on, how bad an actor do you have to be for your best work to be the Donkey's voice in Shrek? Well, anyway, he's not that funny. That's just what I think. Your haters gonna hate, but that's just my point of view. And Jennifer Hudson, I really love her, but she was supposed to perform at the Michael Jackson tribute concert that was going on Saturday, but she totally ditched it. The show's producers had no idea she wasn't going to show up. And actually, they had already paid her to do it. So Hudson is claiming that she felt the show's producers didn't give her enough time with the music she was supposed to be doing. But Jennifer, according to the producers, Jennifer received her music at the same time as all the other performers. So J-Hod signed her contract and was paid in full. So a representative for her says that the reason she canceled, and he said that all of that, the producers and stuff, and her rep said, okay, so producers completely understood this, but apparently that's not the case. What happened there? So come on, you don't miss an already paid gig. Simon Cole will say that was totally unprofessional. So anyway, when we hear what was actually happened, we'll let you know. And oh, and another news, we all know that there's going to be a third Bond movie featuring Daniel Craig. Yuck. Well, no offense, but I like the guy, but he simply is not Bond material. I mean, at the end of Casino Royale, we were all like, yeah, now the real Bond stuff begins and all the classy moves and all of that. But then Quantum of Solace?
Seriously?
I don't want to talk about it.
No, I really don't want to talk about it. It wasn't a good movie. Well, anyway, the new Bond is on the way, and we have two possible titles. And the first one is Carte Blanche, and then I find really classy. And the second one is Skyfall. So the first one sounds really Bondish, like stylish and stuff, but the second one, not that much. So odds are the movie will be called Skyfall, because apparently they have something against doing good movies anymore. So that actually kind of sounds like a video game title, don't you think? Like Call of Duty Skyfall, this time the bombs are going down, or something like that. Well, anyway. So, the girl, also known as Justin Bieber, debuted his new Christmas single on his last concert. Dude, I know in Canada Thanksgiving already happened, but over here, it's not even Halloween. It's not time for you to drop a Christmas album. Not even time for you to drop a Christmas hint or single or anything. Wait till 1st of December or something and do it. Not now. No, not now. Well, Prince Harry is in the US for military training, and on his first night out, he went out with some pals to have a beer and a burger, because that is the best way to live the American life, with beers and burgers. And, well, on another note, Sean Osbourne, if you watch the talk, I don't, it's bad. But anyway, if you watch it, she had plenty to talk about when she returned, because though she claimed that she was taking a hiatus from this show to spend time with her husband, Ozzy Osbourne, she admitted on Thursday that her absence was actually due to a problem with her breast implants, due to a leak of one of the implants. Come on, seriously? It's already bad that you have breast implants and we all have to know about it, but come on, they're bad implants, they're leaking, don't do that. And another celebrity that's probably screwing up their relationship is Ashton Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher was partying on San Diego last September 23rd. And why the date is important, it's not important to me, maybe it's not important to you. But that weekend was his 6th wedding anniversary. What was he doing all by himself in San Diego partying hard? Maybe he's trying to take up on Kesha, like partying hard and, you know, all that stuff. It's not really... Ashton, you're too old for that kind of stuff. Don't do it. But anyway, obviously the tabloids were all over that, and they say, oh, Ashton's been infidelity on the Moore Kutcher household and all that stuff. Well, so the couple, the rumor has it that the couple spent this last weekend together, and that they are apparently patching things up and everything's okay. But if anything comes up on that department, we will let you know. And, well, who do you guess are BFFs now? Well, I don't know if they're actually BFFs, but they were in London last week and a lot of UK parties. And those are Gwyneth Paltrow and Cameron Diaz. They were seen side to side as they flew out of Heathrow Airport in London on Sunday, October 9th, that's yesterday. And the two blonde actresses trekked through an outbound terminal to board an aircraft for New York City. And they had attended to the Arts Club party for the 90-year-old Prince Philip celebration on Wednesday night. And after that, because they do party, they went to Stella McCartney's 40th birthday. So they had a busy week, and they were seen together shopping and all this stuff. So what do you say? Well, Cameron Diaz hasn't been seen a lot since her Bad Teacher performance, but movie also. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe we'll see a movie with both of them, because usually when actresses and actors start hanging together too much, that means they're gonna do something together. I don't know. And, well, coming up this weekend, we have some movie premieres. And one that's causing a lot of buzz is MTV's remake of the 80s, Footloose. So, the original film had Kevin Bacon. That's a good point. And Kevin Bacon is awesome. And he plays this guy that comes from Chicago. I mean, it's the 80s, so everyone are used to listening to rock and roll all the time, dancing and singing at the top of the lungs. And he's this guy that comes from Chicago and to a little town that, because some awful accident happened at the town, it is against the law to listen to rock or to dance. And so, I mean, the story is not great, it's a team flick, but the music is awesome. Kevin Bacon is so great in that movie. I mean, it was an instant classic. And now MTV, that is not known for making good films, let's say it, they do bad films, they do crappy films. And anyway, MTV is doing a remake of Footloose with a guy that, he's cute, but he's not Kevin Bacon. He's not gonna have the career that Kevin Bacon's had. I mean, he's not gonna fill up those shoes, I can tell. And well, on the other side, I had a couple of friends of mine saying they're gonna go watch it because of the lead actress. They say she's very hot. I don't see it. I don't even know her name. And she's a totally stranger to me. But, I mean, that's a movie I'm not paying to see. I'm not spending $10 on watching a bad remake of a good movie. But I will watch the trailer for you guys. I will ask around. And I will tell you how it was on the box office next Monday. So, what do you say? Tell us on Facebook and Twitter, are you gonna watch Footloose? Do you think it's a good idea they made a remake? I actually think it's not a bad idea to make a remake, but MTV is behind it, so that's not a good thing. So anyway, that's all the time we have today. Be sure to tune in next Monday at 5 for your weekly feed of TV and movie news and gossip. And I'm Lady Madonna, and this was Camera Roll, exclusively on radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned, because coming up is Didier Tortula on Splice.
I'll be back.
Whoops. One more time. Tune in next Monday at 2-6 for a new episode of Camera Roll.